My name is Neil Burt, and this is my wife Roxanne, and we've been coming to Linwood for right at 2 years. To me, worship is anything that we do to exalt or glorify God. And what we do here at Linwood, from the time we drive in down there at the parking lot and the people are standing outside waving at you and stuff, there's days it's cold, days it's hot, and they're still standing there, and they're doing it not because they have to or not because it's a job, because they want, in that way, they're glorifying God. And that's worship. The people who take care of our children and grandchildren here at church, they glorify God through their actions and the things that they do. The worship team, they sing the beautiful songs to get your heart ready and prepared for the sermon that's yet to come.
A worship team isn't on the platform for your entertainment. To me, a worship team is there to help open up your channels between God and you, to prepare your heart and open up that door to the throne room of God, to have Him get you to a point where you can receive the word that He has for you. And if you're going through something in your life and you don't read the words, even if you're not singing, if you're not reading the words and letting them penetrate inside of you, you're going to miss what God has for you. And to me, it's very important to get that preparation before the service. And there's times where I'm singing or I might not know the song and I'm just reading along the words and something will hit me and I'll start to get teary-eyed. And it reminds me that God has brought me through. It reminds me of things that He has kept me from, has provided for me. Or just the fact that I love Him and I just want to continue to grow in Him. And that's, I think, is so important for that first part of the service, for that to happen.
Worship starts long before the service begins, and it goes long after the service is over. And that's what worship is to me. My name is Neil Burt, and to me, zeal is exaltation and glorification of God in absolutely everything that we do.
Zeal to me is a hunger for more of Jesus and to try to live a life that is pleasing to Him and to just grow deeper and deeper in love with Him.
God created you and He loves you. And today I want to talk about the flip side of that, in that He wants you to love Him in return. Many years ago, a man asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" In Matthew 22, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God. This is the greatest and most important commandment." Notice Jesus said, "This is the greatest and the most important." God says, if there's anything you're supposed to do, it's one thing, and that you're supposed to love me, because I created you to know you and to love you, and I want you to know me and to love me in return. And there's a word that we use to describe this. It's a word that's often misunderstood, and that is the word worship. Worship is simply knowing and loving God. You and I are created to have zeal for worship, to have zeal for God. So in this series of messages called Zeal, we've been talking about having zeal or passion for a lot of things that are important in the Christian life. But all of it's going to be summarized in today's message. All of the focus of our zeal and our passion is not so much the things we do, but it is the object of our worship, and that is God Almighty. And so today I want us to get a real tight focus about that, and how we do that, how we worship the Lord. How do we know Him and to love Him? What does that look like? Because when we think of worship, what comes to your mind? If somebody asks you, what is worship? What do you think about? How would you answer that? Well, a lot of us would talk about the elements of worship. Praying, singing, the study of God's Word, putting money in the plate, those are things that we would consider things that happen in a worship service. But the Burts, they attend our first hour, they talked about some of the elements, but The most important thing, they said, is it's what you do before you come to church. It's what you do after you leave church. That's really the epitome of worship. By the way, do you know that that family, that couple, drives about an hour every Sunday to come to worship here? They live up in St. Mary. And after church, they head their way back there. And I think it's great that they love to come here and worship. And that's the primary reason they're here. They love our congregation. They love the family of God here. And they've made a serious commitment. They are committed to worshiping the Lord every week as they come here. But worship is much more than that. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than the elements of worship. Paul says in Romans 12:1, and helping us understand worship, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." Notice, this is your spiritual worship. Now, two quick things he says there. First, worship is my response to God's love. That's what worship simply is. It's my reaction. It is my response to God when he loves me. And notice it says, by or because of the mercies of God. God is taking the initiative of demonstrating his mercies to us. And because of that, it demands a response. And that's what worship is that I'm responding back to him because of the mercies. Notice he says, to present, to offer. That's describing worship. He has demonstrated his mercy to me. Now I respond. So worship is my response to God. Secondly, worship is giving back to God. He gives to us, and we give back to him. And whenever you give to God, anything that you offer to him, that is worship. So the question is, what am I supposed to offer to him? He has everything. How can I give to him? Well, you give him your love. That's what we're to give him. We give him our love. Mark 12, this is another account of the same conversation that Jesus had in Matthew 22. In answering this question, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So God wants you to love him in three ways. Notice, you love him thoughtfully. Love him with all your mind. You love him passionately, with all your heart and soul. You love him practically, with all your strength. Those are the abilities that God has given you. Now, God's created the universe, and we think that he has everything because he has the power to create the universe. There are three things that he does not have unless you give them back to him. Notice first, worship is focusing your attention on God. It is focusing your mind, your thoughts, and your attention on him. Many religions will say you need to put your mind in neutral. You need to open your mind up to the universe. You know what happens when you do that? The enemy comes in, not the Spirit of God. And that's why when we are focusing our attention on God, it is something that is intentional. It is something that we are doing in focusing our attention on God. And God wants you to do that thoughtfully. It takes energy to do that. Do you know why God wants you to focus on him? It's because he's focused on you. Notice what David said in Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. God has his focus, his attention on you. Now, sometimes a guy will tell me, Pastor, my wife and my kids tell me that I don't love them. I mean, I go to work every day and I provide for them. Well, guys, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about attention. They want your attention. They want your focus. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want us running around doing a lot of little things. He wants our attention and to focus that on him. Why? Because he constantly puts his attention on us. We love him in return in that way. Now, there are two things that distract us from focusing our attention on him. Number one, we are self-centered by nature. Remember last Sunday we talked about having zeal for self? There's a right way to love ourselves, and there's a wrong way to do that. And this is the wrong way when we are focused on self, and self-centeredness is our nature. Paul said it like this in Romans 8. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. We are self-centered. We focus on ourselves. Secondly, another distraction. We live in a self-centered culture. The reason for that is I'm self-centered, you're self-centered, the culture is self-centered. You know, I'm this way, we're all this way. Come push to shove, I want things to go my way. Don't you? I mean, you want things to go your way. You think you know what's right, and you want it to go that way. Well, we're all like that. That's being self-centered if it's according to our own desire, not God's will. So Paul said in Romans 12, too, about the culture, do not be conformed to this age, to this world. That means a godless world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the focus of our attention on God by the renewing of our mind. So how do you do that? How do you renew that? How do you focus your attention? Well, first of all, let's get to the basics. You start by having a time alone with God, a daily time with God. I want you to notice what Jesus said in Matthew 6. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All of us want God to reward us, to bless us. And so the way we do that is by spending time with Him. Now notice there's two things He says about how to do that. He talks about a private room. That means we get in the closet. We get in the room. What He's really talking about is get alone. It's not so much the place, but you're by yourself. That's why He's talking about a private room. Or in a closet. It gives us the image of being alone. You can be in this room right here and be alone, and you're spending time with the Lord. You can be anywhere. It's being alone with Him. But notice He says, in secret. You're alone and you're in secret. That means nobody's around. Why is that? So I can be honest with God. You know, if I'm trying to pray and talk to God and you're standing next to me, there's some things you're not going to hear. I'm not going to pray about those things. I'm only going to talk to God and Him alone. And that's why you need to have a conversation with God every day and be communicating with Him. That's focusing your attention on Him. It's the way that you are worshiping God. Now, the second thing that you need to do once you have that daily time is develop a constant conversation with God. Not just a specific time and place, but develop a constant conversation. Psalmist says in Psalm 105, search for the Lord and His strength. Seek His face occasionally. Is that what it says? No. Continually that we do that. Notice what Isaiah said in 26. You will keep in perfect peace the mind that is dependent on you, for it is trusting on you. I want God's peace. You want God's peace. And the way that happens is focusing our attention on God. Now, when you focus yourself, your attention on yourself, the inevitable results are going to be thoughts of worry, insecurity, guilt, fear, and discouragement. That's what's going to happen. But when you focus on God, you'll have thoughts of gratitude, of hope, of confidence, of love. So, why not right now decide what you want to live with? I mean, do you want to focus with worry, anxiety, and all the rest? Or hope and love and the good things that God wants us to experience in life? Well, it's by the choice we make of where we focus our attention. That's what He wants us to do. Worship is focusing your attention on God. Notice, secondly, this is something that you can give to God. Worship is expressing your affection to God. Notice this is loving God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that may be very hard for you to do. You may have grown up in a family where you didn't openly express your love to each other. Or maybe you didn't say, I love you, to one another. And so that's awkward for you to do. Maybe you're the quiet type. Again, it's awkward for you to express your feelings. Sometimes we can express our opinions easily, but when we express our feelings, that becomes harder, especially feelings that emote love to someone else. Well, you might need to grow in this area of your life and develop this area of your worship to God. Now listen, God's already taken the awkwardness away from it. You know why? Because He's already said, I love you. He's already said that. You know, it's hard to be the initiator of saying, I love you. But when somebody has said, I love you, it's so much easier to say, I love you in return. Here's what John says. We love because He first loved us. God's already said, I love you. God's already proven He loves you. It ought to be very natural and easy for us to say, I love you. You've done this for me. So the least I can do is express my love by saying, I love you. You know, in many religions, God is viewed as an angry God who's a killjoy. And people want to run from that kind of God. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God who loves us, and He simply wants us to love Him in return and to express that love to Him. That's what we do when we come together. By the way, Søren Kierkegaard, when we think about what happens here in the worship service, Søren Kierkegaard said, he used the illustration or the metaphor of a stage, a play that is taking place. And he says that those on the platform are the prompters, those in the audience are the participants, and the audience is God. It's the audience of one. So when we come together to worship, it's not these up here who are worshiping God and trying to engage you, or maybe you say, you know, I like that, I don't like that, or whatever else. See, we're all doing this together to one person. Why? We sang the words, He's worthy. He alone is worthy. So whenever we worship corporately in this place, God is the one that worships. That'll help free you in worshiping, because it's to Him. It's not to these who are up here. It's to God and God alone. That's their desire, is to point you to God in our worship. So the Bible says God wants to be loved. Hosea says, God says in Hosea, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. There it is again, love and knowledge. So every morning as part of your prayer, I want you to pray this. God, regardless of what happens, at the end of the day, I want to know you a little bit more, and I want to love you a little bit better. I want to know you a little bit more, and I want to love you a little bit better. Now, at the end of the day, if you're able to go through the day and know God a little bit more and love Him a little bit better, regardless of what happened, that was a successful day. Because ultimately, that's what matters. That I know Him more, I love Him better, and it was a great day. In the midst of the storm that you're facing in life, even right now. On the other hand, that day was wasted. If you don't know more of God, and if you don't love Him a little better, then that day was wasted. Now, how can you express your affection to God? The greatest way you can express your affection to God is to give money to God. Is that, I want to make sure you're listening here, all right? No, the greatest way that you can express your affection to God is by giving your life to God, giving your heart to Him. God wants your heart. That's what's most important to Him. And does He have your life? Paul said in Romans 6, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God. Notice, worship's always a response. So I'm offering myself to God. He says, I want you to give yourself completely back to me. Now, what holds us back? Fear. You're afraid that if you give your life to God, you're going to become a religious nut, right? Well, that's not what's going to happen. He made you to be you, not a religious nut. But this may be the most important I say in this entire series, that the more you know God and the more you love God, the more normal you will become. The more you know God and love God, the more normal you'll become. Everybody wants to be normal. Everybody wants to be whole. Everybody wants to be healthy emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically in their lives. And the more you know God and love God, you're not going to be more of a freak. Yeah, the world may think that to some degree, but they're going to see you acting whole and well. The greatest example was Jesus Christ. His desire was to know God and to love God. And notice how people reacted to him when he entered the room, when he spoke to the crowd, when he touched them. Totally changed their lives. They were in the presence of God. Now, we're not God, but here's a man who is well. He's whole. And the only way that's going to happen for you is to give your life to God. To have a passion, a zeal, to know him and love him and experience a healthy, wholesome life where God will bless you. Some of you are saying, I don't love God enough. And you see, that's your problem. It's not that you don't love God enough, it's you don't know how much he loves you. And if you realize how much he loves you, it'll be very natural to express your affection to God. Notice third, worship is using your abilities for God. This is loving God with all your strength. God wants us to see him with our mind, to sense him with our heart and soul, and to serve him with all our strength. You know, marriage, a successful marriage, takes more than words and kisses. Now, if you haven't figured that out, you're a little slow. It's more than words and kisses. It's in the mundane, practical things of life. It's taking out the trash, making the bed, putting your dirty clothes where they're supposed to go. All the rest of that. Why? That's the practical way that I'm showing my love to my spouse. You can say you love them all you want, but until you're showing that, that's what matters. We can say that we love God, but God wants us to use our abilities to serve him. To in the practical, mundane things of life that we're showing God that we love him. Paul said it like this: whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. Look, if you get this verse, your life will be forever changed. Who are you living for? Who are you working for? Worship is not having a quiet time 5 hours every day. It's not going to church every time the doors are open. It's in the routine of life. Everything that you do. Because you see, I'm afraid that for most of us, we compartmentalize our understanding of worship. We say, well, I go to church once a week. I attend a Bible study. I give to the Lord. Whatever else. Now over here is my career, my social life, And when I go to school. And so over here, there's no understanding of how to worship God. We think of worship in our spiritual life and doing spiritual things, religious things. Let me help you understand this. You realize that when you become a Christian, Jesus, you get off the throne of your heart, of your life, and Jesus gets on the throne, right? So when we're here, oh, he's on the throne. But on Monday morning when we go to work, we tend to take Jesus off the throne of our lives. We get on the throne and we work the day. We control the day with no thought of God. Now either he's Lord or he's not. So when I go to work in the morning, I need to say, God, in the work that I do, I'm realizing I'm working for you. When I go to school tomorrow, that you're there and you're Lord of what happens at school. I'm going to worship you as a student with the friends that I have in our social life and our social activities, the things that we do, the extracurricular activities. He's Lord there. Either he's there or he's not there. And so he is Lord in the sense that he's my life is submissive to him in every venue of my life. And by doing that, I am serving the Lord with my abilities. See, again, we think it's serving on a committee. That's serving God. But it's serving him in every venue of life so that he has full focused attention of my love for him. Real worship, in other words, is a lifestyle. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. You see, the truth is everybody worships something. I've been all around the world. Many of you have. And if you go to those different places, you'll find people worshiping. You know, as I've traveled too in different places, I've been to sites where archaeologists have discovered an altar of worship, a temple of worship, thousands upon thousands of years ago. So everybody has a desire to worship. Why is that? The Bible says that God has put eternity in their hearts. God has put eternity in all of our hearts. Every person that's created. So we're going to worship something or someone. The question is, who is it or what is it? You see, if you don't worship God, you'll find a substitute real quick. We all do that. The greatest problem you and I have is to worship something other than God, and that is the root of every other problem that we have in life. We worship Him. Now, we know that's the greatest problem because that's the one Satan tried to pull on Jesus in the wilderness. What did he say? Bow down and worship me. And you know what? Nothing's changed. And if he's doing that to Jesus in the wilderness, he's going to do it to you and to me as well. He's tempting us every day. Don't worship God, worship me. Don't do what he says, do what I say. He's not going to make you happy. I can make you happy. Oh, I tell you, I need more time. So many lives have gone through so much pain because they've said yes to the enemy, worshiped him rather than worship the God who created us, the God who loved us. This is the amazing thing. If we focus our attention, express our affection, and use our abilities for God, God says, I'm going to take care of everything else. So that's why you and I should have zeal for worship. There's one reason. He deserves it. He alone deserves it. Now here are some steps that I want to give you as we close that will help you do that. All right? Very practical. Number one, focus your attention on God. How do I do that? Get into God's Word. Read and meditate God's Word. If you're not a Christian or you're a new Christian, read the book of John. You'll learn about the life of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, and what he did for you. If you are a believer, and maybe it's been a while you've been in God's Word, start in the book of James. It kind of tells us what to do, and it'll kind of be a catalyst. It'll kind of be that fire that we need to get us going in our pursuit of God. Now, in that, let me ask you, what is distracting you from having that time alone with God? I want you to think about that. You may need more time to think about that. Well, what is distracting you from spending time with God? Because if you're not, something is distracting you. Now, here's the step. Deal with the distraction. Get rid of the distraction and spend time alone. Focus your attention on God. The second step, express your affection to Him. If you don't know God, it begins by giving your life to Him. It's saying, God, here I am. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, God loves you and He will welcome you. He will welcome you. I did the funeral yesterday for Bill Ford, and I was asked to use the story of the prodigal son. Never had used the prodigal son for a funeral message. And I concluded the message with this. God is not going to welcome you into heaven until you welcome Him into your heart. And so that's what happens here, while you have time to do that. Welcome Him into your heart. And for those who know the Lord, thank Him for loving you. And if you're having a hard time focusing your attention on that, look at the cross. You can look at this one. You can look at a cross in your home. But when you look at a cross, you just think about what that really means. That God loved you so much that he put his son on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. That alone deserves our praise to him. And third, use your abilities for God. Get practical. When you get up and go to work in the morning, as much as you may dread going, or when you go to school in the morning, as you drive there, say, God, help me to worship you in my work, at my school, with my social life. Just get a mental focus on that. It's an attitude that God wants you to have. And understand, be practical in that. Worship God in all aspects of your life, whatever you do. So, as you go, say, Lord, I'm working for you today. I think if you take those few steps, God is going to really help you have zeal for worship, passion for him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I need to do that very thing. I need to give my life to God. I've never done that in the way that you're describing it. Well, in a moment, we're going to continue our worship by a time of response, really the most important thing that we do. And so if you want to give your life to God in just a moment, I want to ask you to come to one of the pastors when we begin to sing this next song. And they'll help answer any questions about that. They'll help explain that to you. Somebody will make sure that you understand and help you give your life to God and begin to worship him. There might be many in this room who know the Lord, but the passion's not there. It's been waning. The zeal for God. And so be honest with the Lord about that. Maybe it's because you're not spending time alone with him. Maybe there are too many distractions and you need to deal with that. Well, whatever it is, God understands it, but God wants you to take the step of faith that you need to take. God may be saying to some of you that you need to be part of this church family. Look, we're not a perfect church, but we truly desire to worship God. We desire to know him and to make him known in our community, in the United States, and around the world. And we want you to be a part of what God's doing here at Linwood. Maybe you need a quiet time alone with him here at the altar. And yes, there's people in the room, but you can just draw a circle around yourself and share your heart with the Lord. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Then we're prepared to do that. God, thank you for loving us. And may we understand what worship really is. Lord, we've messed it up in so many ways. Help us to understand what it's really all about through your truth, through your word, and through your Spirit's power to draw us to you. So God, give us a zeal for you in a fresh way this morning. Help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.